go. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. All right. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well. 98973. Chris Martin, you're in charge of Teeny Tiny Lady in the Pickle Jar. By the way, I don't grade the writer in her contract. She's got a couple new things. She signed a new contract last Monday, so make sure you take care of those things for her. All right, Sherry's in for Tom because it is a Friday. Tom takes Fridays off. Like Johnny Carson in the 90s. I'm in the 90s! I watch Johnny Carson all the time on Fridays because we were allowed to stay up late. Never understood why Johnny could never tell if Doc Severinsen was there or not there. Is Doc here? Doc is not here. Is Doc here? Is Doc here? It's like, how can you not see Doc Severinsen? How big's the set? Where's Doc? Is he hiding? Is Doc here? Doc is not here. Doc is here.
I just watched a documentary on Doc.
Oh,
and it was really something. He's really amazing.
Was Doc there? Oh, Doc was not here. Doc is here. First 5 minutes of the show. Is Doc here? Chris, is Doc here? Doc is not here. All right. All right, let's see. Oh, boy. I got to tell you, I don't want to get worked up in this next segment, okay? Because I can't stand the way people distort reality in order to redirect people's attention away from something towards something. And this happens all the time, right? Donald Trump says when he gets elected, it's 2016 and 2017, and Spicer gets up there and says, we have more people at this inauguration than ever before. This is the biggest turnout. So within about half an hour, somebody fact checks and finds a photo and compares it to Barack Obama. And they're like, not even close. Not true. And then it stops and then it becomes a big joke. And I think somebody has to actually use the word, well, it's something, it's an alternate fact or some. Remember that ridiculous sort of thing where you want to talk about something, you show a picture of something, you create the narrative behind it. And then someone jumps in and goes, well, wah, wah, not true. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the border, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people coming across the Rio. These are Haitians that are coming across the Rio, and you've got a limited number of guys on horseback, and they're there trying to control and push them back and not let them get back underneath the bridge, where I think they had at one point 15 or 20,000 people were existing. Can you imagine what that was like? There is a photograph and video of one of the guys has a long reins. It's a split rein. So if you actually have a horse and it's a loop rein and you are going through bushes and things like that, if you drop the rein or the rein could get stuck on a bush or something below, but with the split rein, one can go one way, one can go another. And it's also, you don't want to have a long rein that's a loop because it can get stuck under the horse's foot. So you have a split rein that sometimes is weighed down at the end in order for it to hold down to the sides of the horse. In order to control a human being, not to get too close to your horse or pull you off your horse, which can happen, you use a rein in order to either direct the horse or to push the person aside. No one was whipped. No one was whipped.
Of course I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see.
What did you see?
You saw.
What did you see, Saul?
To see people treat it like they did, horses really running them over, people being strapped.
Was anybody run over and strapped?
It's outrageous.
What's outrageous? Is it outrageous that you have hundreds of thousands of people, more than a million people have come across the border? Is that outrageous? Is it outrageous that seven kids died and two adults died when you dropped a Predator drone on them? Is it outrageous that Americans are still in Afghanistan that are apparently supposed to be brought out of Afghanistan? Or is it a made-up story that some guy on a horse whipped a Haitian?
I promise you, those people will pay.
So there's going to be an investigation, but they're going to pay.
They will be an investigation underway now.
Okay, so there's an investigation. Can you imagine being the person doing the investigating? So the president has already said that they will pay, that this is horrible that this happened. Now go investigate. What are you going to prove? That it did happen or didn't happen? You're going to come back and tell what actually didn't happen? No, because the judge and jury, who is the president of the United States, the oldest man we've ever elected to the office, has said to everybody that, yes, it's already happened.
And there will be consequences.
Right.
There will be consequences.
Yep.
It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment.
Who got fired for droning those people in Afghanistan?
Embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong. It sends the wrong message around the world. It sends the wrong message at home. It's simply not who we are.
I told you I wasn't going to get upset, but I just, listen, you're trying to redirect the story. You're trying to make it about something else. And then we're going to talk about what? Systemic racism?
I was.
This is your vice president who's in charge of borders.
Outraged by it. It was horrible and deeply troubling. There's been now an investigation that is being conducted, which I fully support, and there needs to be consequence and accountability. Human beings should not be treated that way, and as we all know, it also evoked images of some of the worst moments of our history where that kind of behavior has been used against the indigenous people of our country, has been used against African Americans during times of slavery. So I'm glad to know that Ali Mayorkas, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, is taking it very seriously.
Okay. The photographer, by the way, said it didn't. There was no whipping.
Right. He came out and said the photographs look kind of bad, but he was there and he absolutely denied that there was any whipping at all. Not to mention the fact that this is what these guys do every single day. They're out there. They know their horses. They know what they're doing. That's not what they do. They were trying to control the horses. And you're absolutely right. This is nothing but a distraction. This is a way we won't. Don't look at the 16,000 people that were living under the bridge, living in deplorable conditions, in absolutely horrifying conditions, because we've opened the borders and said it's okay to come here.
Right.
And now they're dying and they're sick and it's terrible. Don't look at that. No, look at three guys on a horse or whatever horses, and we can relate to that. And Al Sharpton goes there and a lot of people. Where were they? Would they have been there if it were just the poor people that were trying to get into this country and that are sick and dying and starving there? Where are they then?
No, listen, I'm checking right now the Washington Post. Because they can do is you do a fact check. Because they do fact checked on these photos all the time. They fact check the heck out of Trump. And they caught him in millions of lies. Let's see. Fact check Washington Post. Fact check New York Times, Politico. Fact check photo. Fact check. Anybody want to fact check that? Apparently not.
No.
Because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't help a stumbling, bumbling president who's now at about 38% approval rating with independents. And I think it's a minority of people actually believe that he's mentally competent or at least kind of on the ball. Anyway, listen, I don't want to get upset about it. If Tom were here, he'd be screaming back at me. But I just think it's sort of sad that people are going to believe this and run with this, that this is the same sort of narrative that talked about that we have black people being indiscriminately killed every single day by a racist police force. It's the same story. Stop it and deal with the reality of what really happens. I thought you were supposed to be the uniter, and he can't be the uniter because he needs the left to continue to tell him what he's supposed to say. And it's to me, it's just so sad. And days like this, I'd say, sure, you know, I'd rather talk about happy, fun stuff. You and I can have some laughs. But I see him go on there and do this press conference, and then I see other people talk about it. I'm like, golly, somebody has to at least say something about it that's on the news. That says the photographer said there was no whipping going on. These are not whips. These are long reins, right? I mean, am I completely off on this?
No, not at all.
Where's Tom?
I have to admit, it did look bad. I mean, you know, the photographs did look pretty horrible when you see people in the water and all of that. But the whole situation is horrible. Your heart breaks for these people. I mean, they're trying to get a new life. They're trying to get a better life. They're in really impossible conditions. So, yes, did it look bad? But it's not the reality of it. And the fact that this is yet another attempt by the Biden administration to try to distract us, you know, to look over here, don't look over here, and get us going on a whole new thing. You know, it's just unfortunate. And to your point, John, about his approval rating, there's an article in the Daily Mail that says that 60% of people say that he has failed to unite the country like he promised to do. And that, you know, his approval rating is pretty bad. From ages 30 to 49, his approval rating has dropped 12 points just in the last few months.
Well, listen, people didn't love him. They just voted for him because he wasn't Donald Trump. As I said before the other day on the radio, you know, if your campaign is I'm not Donald Trump, okay, that gets you elected. And then what are you going to do? Keep going. Listen, I'm not Donald Trump. By the way, the good news is that many of the Haitians that have come to the United States, it looks like they're deporting a few. Others will be released into the United States in order to be able to go spend time with family. So, and right. then eventually be just part of the ongoing people that have come into the United States illegally. By the way, the one group of Haitians that were able to overtake a bus when they realized, oh my God, we're being deported. So they beat up the bus driver, jumped out of the bus and took off, and the cops caught them, rounded them back up, sent them back into the plane again. Another plane that landed over in Haiti, when those guys got off the plane, they went after and assaulted the pilot because they realized, geez, I don't want to be back here in Haiti. Listen, nobody wants to be in Haiti, right? It's a sad, desperate place after the president is assassinated. The infrastructure doesn't work. The corruption, it runs rampant everywhere. And it's, I guess if you can sneak into the country in some way and you believe you will not be sent back home again, you'll take any chance you possibly can. So off they go. By the way, the ongoing battle between people that are just trying to talk about something else, and then what ends up happening is that you get these mask arguments that go on, whether or not you should be masked. So in Walla Walla, council meeting ends early after the attendees refuse to wear the mask. So they're there. What were they there to talk about at the Walla Walla council meeting?
They were there because they were under the impression, based on a rumor that they heard, that you would have to wear a mask, or that you would have to be vaccinated to do anything in the city. Uh-huh. So they were concerned about that. So about 100 people showed up thinking that they were going to be discussing this, saying, we don't want to have to be vaccinated to go to a restaurant or a movie or whatever it is. The reality is, what they were really discussing were employees and whether or not those city employees were going to go under the federal mandate for okay. the vaccine. So there was a little bit of confusion about what the topic was.
Okay. And then when the people stand up without masks on, the people inside are going, listen, if you don't have the masks on, we're not going to continue. Then people scream and yell. And then you end up having the whole thing get disrupted, and out you go. There's a picture Jason Rance just found of Dow Constantine at some meeting or something, and people don't have masks on. So the gotcha thing of not wearing a mask. I went into PCC today, didn't have a mask, it had fallen out of my pocket. I went around, looked, tried to find one on the ground, couldn't find one. Normally you can. It's the weirdest thing. It's like people won't litter with anything, but the two things you can find everywhere are condoms and masks. That's sort of a thing that I've noticed.
So just to be clear, were you going to pick up a littered mask, one that's on?
Yes.
You were going to pick up a mask that was maybe on the ground, had been stepped on and worn?
Yes. I would okay. find the cleaner side.
Okay. Go ahead.
I know that you're translating the show into dog for everybody, by the way. We can hear the dog in the background. What I'd noticed, like today, it's a slow decline of being sane. I poured some cereal into my bowl, and I noticed something looked like a bug. And I'm digging around trying to find it. And then I thought, you know what? If I eat it, I eat it. And I realized that... Am I the only one who hears a dog? Am I having a stroke? Chris, do you hear a dog as well?
She's a little bit upset.
She's upset by that story?
She's upset about the bug. Yeah, she doesn't like the idea of anybody eating a bug. So, I'm trying to calm her down.
What happens is you start to get as you live out where I live now, and you sort of live the way I live, you just sort of let less and less things bother you, like a bug in your cereal. Now, if you lived in the high rise where you live in the tawny areas of Northern Virginia, people would be more likely to fish bugs out of their cereal. But when you live in a small spot, you're kind of just on your own. You chomp down on a bug or two, it doesn't bother you. Chris, you with me?
Kinda. If
I
lived in the woods,
No.
See, there you go. See? And always be judging, am I losing it? And then what, you're basing that upon what? Upon people that walk around Seattle that are 25 years old, that are vaccinated, have masks on, and they're walking around, or they're riding scooters and they're wearing masks? Am I judging how crazy I am compared to them? I think, I eat a bug.
Okay, but, the bug, you had more cereal, right? You could have dumped out that cereal and gotten new cereal.
No.
If you wanted to.
No, it was down to my last bit. That's probably where the bug came, because the thing, it had been there for a while. So maybe, and I kind of wanted the cereal. And it wasn't like it was cereal, it was bug looking. In fact, it might have been called buggy bites. And it looked like you could hard to find the bug in there. And I thought, I'm not going to dig around. I've already put honey on top. So just go ahead.
You sure wasn't a raisin?
Okay, Chris, you know what? I'm gonna go with raisin. I'm gonna go with a crunchy raisin with legs.
Was it
you've
black?
Seen those,
was it,
you've seen those crunchy raisins with legs, right?
Did it have wings?
I mean, we don't need to go into this. You know what?
No, I mean, there's bugs and there's bugs, right? I mean, if it was like one of those things you find in flour, like those little black bugs, well, okay. But if it was like a bug, I mean, you know, something gross and slimy and buggy.
No, it was just probably a bug that was brown and crunchy and fine. Listen, but it's interesting that you draw the distinction like, oh, the little ones that you find in flour, you're okay with that. But like, wasn't some gigantic thing that I had to take three bites out of.
Well, no, I'm giving you an out, okay? I don't think the bugs in the flour are good.
I don't need any favors from you. Why don't you have your dog get closer to the microphone?
She's upset. She's upset. She doesn't like you eating that. She doesn't like the fact you'd pick up a mask off the ground and use it.
That, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. People breathed on that mask.
It can't hurt you.
You guys suck.
Okay. Tracy Taylor, hopefully you weren't listening.
No, I was, and I'm sitting here. I want to vomit. You think of all of this stuff.
Sherry, your dog.
That's not mine. That's Tracy's dog.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That is my dog.
It's from live from the kennel.
New traffic. Yes. Here we go. Keel Mortgage. Thanks a lot for sponsoring the Tom and Curley Show. Keel Mortgage, the best in the business. Lower Keel and everybody there. Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. Normally, I'd be pressing the button. Hannah Scott would come on. And Hannah, Sherry, would be talking about landlords and the recent stuff coming out of Seattle. And I thought, you know what? We'll just cut right to the chase. Brett Waller is the guy that Hannah often talks to. Brett is the one that represents the landlords. And he is the director of government affairs, basically meaning he spends half of his time fighting traffic, going to Olympia, and then looking for a parking spot, going in through the rain, and then walking around the halls trying to get people to listen to the mom and pa landlords. And that is your job and the cross that you bear. So, Brett, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And by the way, thanks. I know that you're talking to us from your quote-unquote cabin somewhere. So you're on a vacation or whatever. You're taking an early weekend. So even better, you get extra credit for that. So what is the last thing that came out of the city council? Was that it's the because it's hard to keep track of everything. What's some of the ones that you're looking at that you're like, oh, no?
I mean, where do I start?
Okay.
The most recent bill that they passed was the school year eviction ban that applies to any individual who has a child in school or a person who works for the school district or for a school, primary K-12 type school.
Okay.
And that passed, and they just prevented evictions. Without any compensation, not providing any rental assistance or the opportunity to access rental assistance to really fix the problem that exists when you have a non-payment of rent situation.
So wait a minute. So a mom, let's assume she's single mom, she's got two kids going to they're going to school. They're in eighth grade and fourth grade or something. What you're saying is that they cannot be evicted from the apartment because they've got school age kids.
Correct. Yeah. And we know that with just $2,000 in rental assistance, we can save a tenancy and make that tenancy whole and stable over a year period of time. So we just really need to focus on rental assistance.
Sherry?
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask, Brett, I remember that story. Didn't that also extend to anyone in the school? So, for instance, if you're a cafeteria worker, if you're a janitor, if you're in the school at all, that you would be protected from eviction?
It does, yes.
Okay. All right, so that's if you got a kid in school, and you're saying with $2,000 eviction money, meaning that you guys there at the Multiple Family Housing Association can get access to cash to be able to make that individual, the tenant, whole with the landlord and avoid the whole eviction thing.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, just getting that $2,000 in cash on average will keep a family stable for 95% of the time over a year period of time.
Okay. So rather than coming down with this draconian thing, if you've got a kid in school, you can't be evicted, why don't they stay on the main road, which is to get the money from – how hard is it to get the money? Is it difficult to access that money to you know, clear the debt for the landlord?
Certainly revenue can be an issue. I think we are a sympathetic villain. It may be the best term out there. There's a lot of focus on landlords and housing right now, and that's why the council has returned with two more bills that'll be up on Monday.
Okay.
About rent increases that make it just more challenging to operate rental housing in the city of Seattle.
And what is the next one on your hit list that you really seem to be enjoying?
So the next two bills are one requires 180 days notice for rent increases. Mm-hmm. And accompanying that is that if you increase the rent by more than 10%, the landlord is required to pay 3 months of that average rent to the tenant if they move.
So they're actually paying the tenant to move. They're covering their moving costs, essentially.
Well, the city is requiring the landlord to pay that money. So it's really a tax or a fee on the landlord to operate their business and to cover their operating expenses.
Okay, so 50% of the apartments that are available in the city of Seattle are owned by what would be considered ma and pa, right? Not big conglomerates,
right.
Not out-of-state corporations. So if they want to raise the rent and they want to raise it 10%, and a big part of the chunk, and I think you sent this to me one time, that of the dollar that is paid by the tenant to the landlord, what percent is actually going into the pocket of the landlord?
Well, on average, it's about 10 cents of every dollar goes into the pocket of the landlord. 90 cents of every dollar goes towards the operating costs of the property. And when you look at a property, you have to estimate what the taxes are going to be for next year. There's an incredible shortage of labor right now in the rental property market. And mm-hmm. So wages are very competitive, and that's making it very difficult for affordable housing providers, particularly, to keep up with the market conditions with the inability to raise rent and the challenges around raising rent in affordable communities to maintain the competitiveness of employee wages and also the maintenance of communities.
I don't understand. Ultimately, it seems, as I think I said to you, I sent you a text message the other day, that the scene from this novel that I was reading once about this guy swinging the poker around the living room, swinging at ghosts, and he's smashing and crashing everything from the library to the chairs, all the china, everything completely and absolutely destroyed. And the person walks back in and says, did you get the ghost? And he says, I certainly hope so. To me, it likes the city council here in Seattle swinging this poker wildly at, as you say, the villains, which are the landlords, to try to stop at every single turn and to protect the tenant. And ultimately what they'll end up doing is driving more and more apartments away. More and more landlords will leave because they're making it virtually impossible to be able to run a business. So then what happens down the road, Brett?
Well, I mean, landlords look to mitigate their risk, and they do that in a number of ways. They look at their screening criteria, or they sell their property to get out of the market, and that becomes a homeowner type of of a property. And they do other things. Everything that the city council has done, you know, arguably has not stabilized the housing market in the city of Seattle. It's only made it worse. So what we need to do is really focus on real solutions to fix Seattle's housing crisis.
So, Brett, according to this article in the Seattle Times, 86,000 renters are behind on their rent right now. Where does the eviction what is the status of that now? If that many people are behind and the money, everybody's still waiting for some of the pandemic money or some of the other money to come in to give to these landlords, are they now able to evict these people that, say, haven't paid in months and months and months?
No. The short answer is no. You know, what's really frustrating about that number that you just gave me is that it's not actually 60,000 renters in Seattle who are behind in their rent. The United States Census has done a household pulse survey for about 37 weeks across the country. And the household pulse survey surveys and provides a lot of different data sets about health and education, uh-huh. food security, and, of course, housing. in the housing piece, they do a number of different data sets, and one of them is the ability to pay last month's rent. In that, they survey about 2,500 renters across the entire state of Washington and then extrapolate this data. So it's really an estimation. And the best way to look at that is through percentages. Mm-hmm. The other piece is that they look at Washington state as a whole, and they look at the Seattle metro area, which includes Seattle, Bellevue, and Tacoma. Arguably, it also includes Snohomish County, which is part of the metropolitan statistical area. So it's not just Seattle.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is 7.5% of renters are behind in their rent, which is consistent with what it was, what was happening prior to COVID.
Prior to. Yeah. Yeah. That certainly illuminates the story and puts it in a different context. Brett Weller, thanks for taking some time out of your early weekend to shed some light and to hear from the other side. We'll tell Hannah Scott you said hi.
Thank you.
Keep up the fight for rational work between tenants and landlords. It shouldn't be so acrimonious. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate that. Tracia Taylor, look at traffic for us on a Friday. How we doing? All right, here we go. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You text as well at 98973. Sherry in for Tom, because that is the way it works on Fridays. I'm looking up Kim Kardashian West. How many people follow her on Instagram? Oh. She only has 255 million followers.
Oh, loser.
Yeah. My kids, when I first went on Instagram a long time ago, I don't do anything on it now. They're like, Dad, whatever you do, don't follow too many people. I said, why? That's the worst. So you look at it. She's got 255 million people follow her. She follows 150. So I guess it really means something to be followed by Kim Kardashian. Now, the reason she's in the news is because Kim Kardashian will be hosting Saturday Night Live coming up, the beginning of the season? Or when do they have her scheduled? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
And people are... Deborah Messing from what show was that she was on?
She was on, what was her sitcom?
Come on.
Oh, I know. I didn't watch it. The one with the guy.
The guy and then Will and Grace.
Will and Grace. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. So she was on Will and Grace. And
you almost turned into your mom there for a minute.
I know
the guy with the thing. He's got the thing and then he does that thing with the things.
The other day she said something to me like, who's the guy that plays on that show? What? Anyway, Kim Kardashian, by the way, is on October 10th, I believe.
Okay.
So Deborah Messing is upset about this, and she tweeted out something like, she said, why Kim Kardashian? I mean, I know she's a cultural icon, but SNL has hosts who are performers who are there to promote a film or TV. Am I missing something? And people, somebody wrote back and said, yeah, like the last 40 years, dummy. So she is a little bit upset about it. She also had a tweet when Elon Musk was hosting, and she said, it's always been a dream of mine to host SNL. Seeing Elon Musk have that privilege hurts my heart. So Deborah Messing, not happy about it, but SNL is doing this. I mean, this is what they do. They have athletes. They've got, people like Elon Musk, people that have, like you said, a huge following on social media. They're not just looking for comedians anymore. They don't do that. They get as many people as they can. They need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
So they're going to get anybody.
And don't be Deborah Messing and ask a question on the internet, like, why then? Because that just opens you up to have everybody go after you. And just make fun of you. Is she saying this because she wants to be on Saturday Live?
Yeah, she said it's always been a dream of hers to do that. This isn't the first time that Deborah Messing has got into a little a tweet thing.
Uh-huh.
When she really, really wanted to be Lucy in, I think it's something called like Meet the Ricardos or something. It's a biopic about I Love Lucy, about Lucy and Desi Arnaz.
Uh-huh.
And she had played a role. She had played, that Vegemite vitamin thing that famous scene that Lucille Ball did.
Well, she drank too much and she got drunk and drank too much. And then,
Deborah Messing did a reenactment of that of sorts on Will and Grace one time. And she was really good and she really looked like Lucy. So when they announced that Nicole Kidman was going to be Lucy in this biopic, she really got upset about it. So I think she turns to Twitter to sort of air her frustrations about her own career. But nobody's having it.
Yeah, don't do that. But listen, how many people are going to tune in to watch? But most people don't even watch Saturday Night Live on Saturday. They watch it Monday morning where people share it online or something like that. And Kim Kardashian will probably be horrible. They'll make a bunch of jokes about her, I assume. Right. And then everyone, it'll be shared in 1 minute and 30 seconds or 2 or 2:30. And that's what it's going to be because Saturday Night Live realizes over-the-air broadcasting is not where it is. So, you know, sorry, Deborah, but nice try. Will you be tuning in on at 11:30 to be watching Kim Kardashian?
I will not. Will you?
No, I will. I'll be missing that one until she starts following me, until she has 151 followers. I'm holding
out.
There
you go.
All right. By the way, is that her rear end? Is that her real rear end?
There's much debate about that. You know, people said that she might have gotten implants or whatever. So I only she knows. I mean, she's had her share of work done. So it's possible, you know, it could be the only natural thing on her.
Okay. Thank you. Tracy Taylor, you're going to weigh in on that? Is that her real end?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Too many squats, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.